This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We've been talking for, this week will be 2 weeks, about a recent trip I took to the Tulsa Broken Arrow area and what the Lord spoke to me, how He connected the dots from the past in that area and through the lives of Kenneth Hagin and the school God led him to start, Rhema, and Oral Roberts and the school God led him to start, Oral Roberts University, for these days in which we lived. And as I met the young students coming into Tulsa Broken Arrow so happy, I thought, do they know what God has done and how these men, what they have given, and others sense that these schools are still here. And they're going to move on to their purpose. On the way back home, as we were driving back from Tulsa, David Warren had given me a cassette tape. He'd sent it to me of a recent, I love All Are You So, and he had given me a recent roadshow interview of the new president, Dr. Mark Rutland. And I had met Dr. Rutland in a board that we're on in a directing, not exactly a board, but they call us commissioners, regarding that Holy Spirit gathering that they're going to have in April 2010 from the 7th to the 10th on the ORU campus. It's to be young people from all over the world looking at the Holy Ghost in the 21st century. So I'd met him and I just really liked him. And then I had this interview and, that was given on the roadshow it was done by David Warren and Oral Roberts' daughter. And in that interview, which I was so happy to hear it, and I knew that ORU is going to go on fine, they mentioned that they had done an interview with Oral Roberts himself when he came to Tulsa recently, and his daughter took him on to Oklahoma City, and there he was honored by the state Senate and the state house for everything he'd done, his life. And it was just an amazing thing. And the Lord said to me, after I read in the newspaper that they had honored him, the Lord said to me, now Oklahoma can know blessing. And I remembered Sister Jeannie Wilkerson's having been taken by the Holy Ghost into a place where the Lord told her that in the last days there would be a roll call of states. And one by one, they would vote in the camp of the Lord or not, just as they vote in a Republican or a Democratic convention. And he said, one state will know blessing, and the state right next to it will not, based on how they vote. And when he spoke to me that morning and said, now Oklahoma can know blessing, I knew that there was something in honoring Oral Roberts and taking back some of that meanness that had been done to him throughout the years. There had to be a repenting. And so it was done. Bless the Lord. Now they know blessing. But so I went online, and you can do it yourself. I can't do it like it's done through him. But on the just click on oasisnetwork.org, then click on the roadshow, then click on archives, and there you'll see the interview where his daughter interviews evangelist Oral Roberts about his life and legacy. And as I listened to that story, I heard a lot of stories that I'd heard before. And he was telling about what had happened in his own life, how he'd been the son of a Pentecostal preacher in southern Oklahoma, and how he'd left home at 15 to go with his coach. And he had lived in Ada, Oklahoma, and his coach, his basketball coach got another job in Atoka and asked Brother Roberts to go with him, and he left home and went. And he made a statement on this program that no impact had been made upon his soul by anything at church. He listened to his father's preaching. Of course, he loved his father, but it made no impact on him. And so he was over in Atoka playing basketball, and it was the district tournaments. He was driving in for a layup, and he collapsed on the floor. The coach took him back, drove him the 50 miles back over to where his folks lived, knocked on the door and said, "Is this where the home of Oral Roberts?" "Yes." And they said, "Is something wrong?" And they brought him in the house. And of course, they called in their doctors, and it was diagnosed that he had tuberculosis in both lungs. Now, in those days, it was like a number one killer. They didn't have any cure for it. And his father, he said, called the saints at Lindsay, Oklahoma, where he'd pastored. And Brother Roberts called them a joyous bunch of people. Brother Hagin said those old-time Pentecostals, they could really get happy, you know. But evidently, something had happened, because Brother Roberts said when they laid hands on him and prayed, "I welcomed their prayers." Evidently, he had not before that. And then his father moved on to Stratford, Oklahoma. And Brother Roberts, it's amazing to me, once the Holy Ghost spoke to me about the similarities between Kenneth Hagin and Oral Roberts, between the schools they're started there, called upon to start. I was at a meeting at Oral Roberts where Brother Hagin was speaking. And I could have given this out as a prophecy, and I didn't. And the Lord spoke in my heart about the similarity to their call, about the place of Tulsa, about their schools being close together, about their sons. And it was just an amazing thing. But he, Oral Roberts, like Kenneth Hagin, was bedfast at 16 years of age. And Brother Roberts was, I think Brother Roberts was 17, and Brother Hagin was 17 before he got off the bed. Brother Roberts said he was on the bed for 5 months, suffering, coughing, hemorrhaging. And doctors were called in again. He had got to a terribly low point. They called in the doctors again. They said he'll be dead in 2 weeks. Now, then his father did something. His father called in a nurse. And the mother, Brother Robert's mother and father, Brother Robert said, he told the Lord, and he told Oral Roberts, his son on the bed, "I'm going to pray until you invite Jesus into your heart." And Brother Robert said, "I didn't really want to hear that," but nonetheless, he couldn't stop them. So the mother and the nurse were over sitting in chairs, and his father was kneeling at the foot of the bed. And he said, "Son, I'm going to pray until you accept the Lord, and I'm not going to stop praying until you do." He raised up on his knees and said that to his son, and Brother Robert said that his father's face faded away, and Oral Robert saw the face of Jesus. "And when I saw the face of Jesus, I began to pray and ask him to save my soul." So he got born again that night. Now, remember, he's not supposed to live. He can't live for 2 weeks. And he said the next day he heard a car drive up, and it was his older brother, Elmer. And he didn't own a car, but he'd borrowed a car. And with his only 35 cents, he put gas in it. And he came and he said, I'm going to take you, Oral. Get up and get dressed. Oral couldn't get dressed. He said, I'll help you. And there was a healing meeting going on at Brother Muncie. And he told them that he had seen miracles. And they put Brother Roberts, Oral Roberts, in the car, the back seat of the car, to take him to that healing meeting. And in the front seat of the car, Elmer and Brother Roberts and his wife were talking about all the things Elmer had seen. When he said, suddenly, their voices faded, Brother Roberts said, Oral Roberts said. And he said, I heard a voice, really plain. And it said, "Son, I'm going to heal you, and you're going to take my healing power to your generation. Someday, you're to build me a university based on my authority and the Holy Spirit." Brother Robert said, "I knew it was the Lord." I said, "Say that again, Lord." The Lord said it again. "Son, I'm going to heal you. You're going to take my healing power to your generation. Someday, you're to build me a university based on my authority and the Holy Spirit." Brother Roberts asked him to repeat it. He repeated it the third time. And he said, "I knew that I was going to be healed that night. And that night he was healed completely. The Lord spoke to him that he was to preach the gospel. And he started going around, preached just regular sermons for 12 years. But then he had a special visitation of the Lord. And he began to, why did he go into tents meetings? Because he would go to churches. And the last church he went to, the pastor said to him, "Are your miracles real?" And he said, "I would go into churches where they invited me, but then they resisted it." So he decided that in a tent, his own atmosphere could be created. And so he started tent meetings, and they grew and grew and grew. And the Lord showed him during this time that, one of the big things that happened was the gunshot. He was preaching for Steve Pringle, he said, and the crowd had grown from just a few to, probably thousands. And somebody in Tulsa, Oklahoma, fired a shot across the street and missed Oral Roberts' head by just a few inches. And the next day in the newspapers, the headlines were, "Evangelist Oral Roberts shot at." And that went around the world, and it made Oral Roberts famous. He said, "That shot put me in the front lines of the ministry." Now, he had lots and lots of criticism all his life. He had lots of criticism. And the press always seemed to be against him. He said he never really remembered receiving good press, but it really would, wherever he took the tents, it would just cause the crowds to grow. And the people would come, and some of them would receive healing, and some of them would not receive healing. And he said, "I went to my mother, my little Cherokee mother, and I was ready to quit." She said to me, "Son," he said, "Mother, what am I going to do?" She said, "Son, you're going to just keep doing what you're doing now. Oral, never strike back. The Bible says, 'Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay.' Don't strike back. Stay little in your own eyes." And Brother Robert said the Lord spoke to him at that time and said, "Where would you go? To whom would you go? I saved you. I healed you. I called you." Brother Robert said, "Okay, I'll stay." And he stayed. And I'm telling you, there have been some battles through the years to try to stop Oral Roberts University. But Oral Roberts University, he built on that voice of God, which said to him, "You're going to build a university based on my authority and on the Holy Spirit." And he also told him this, "Raise up your students to hear my voice, to go where my light is dim, where my voice is heard small, and my healing power is not known, even to the uttermost bounds of the earth. Their work will exceed yours, and in this I am well pleased." Oh my goodness, think of what the Lord has done. And this is what I thought of when I was there. We trust you will be Friday at your courthouse, 12 to 1, praying for a great awakening. You can listen to the archives earlier this week and get caught up. We have wonderful offers for you. We have I Believe in Visions by Kenneth Hagin, The Man Who Talks to Flowers, which is about Dr. George Washington Carver. We're going to talk about him tomorrow, and we've come upon some great DVDs showing him. Listen tomorrow and find out how to get them. This is Billy Brim. Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.